All right, now, number four, the truths that we believe. We believe in the Bible of God's Word, do we not?
Yes.
No? Okay, in our series, These Truths We Believe, we're focusing on the truths that are fundamental to our faith as Christians. And today we're looking at the Bible being God's Word. Now, in my hand, I hold a Bible, and in my hand, I hold a device. But Bible, and I have probably about 20 Bibles in this device. And that's there. You've got the little icon there. You've got the Holy Bible and the Bible. A lot of people I've heard say there's nothing like the paperback Bible. Well, I just want to tell you elderly people that the young people now say there's nothing like having a Bible, a concordance, everything in this hand, because way, way, way back they used to have scrolls. And I bet you when they went from the scrolls to the Bible, they would have gone, oh, you should stick with the scrolls. All right? These are the times we live in. And thank goodness we can, everyone. I mean, isn't it amazing? All our young people have at least 3 or 4 Bibles on their phone or access to it. It's brilliant. But anyway, so the Bible is a collection, just a quick rundown, but the Bible is a collection of 66 books. Okay, the book is divided into 2 major parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, within these pages, there are various types of literature. They have poetry, for those who like poetry, prophecy, biography, letters, and various styles of teachings, and obviously much, much more. Now, here are some Bible facts. Okay, some Bible facts for you. Next slide, please. Okay, the Bible was written by about 40 men over a period of 1,600 years, dating from 1,500 BC to about 100 years after Jesus Christ. Okay, the Bible has been translated in part or in whole into over 1,200 languages and dialects. The first translation of the English Bible was initiated by John Wycliffe. Okay, and completed by John Purvey in 1388. All right, next one. There's 1,189 chapters. There's 31,173 verses and 77,692 words in the Bible. Now, the longest word in the Bible is this one. Now, you all know that I'm a keen, avid reader. And I can say that that is Mahershala Hashbaz. Can everyone say that? Shocking. Took me 2 weeks to rehearse that. All right, now this book is a collection of books, okay? The Bible is a collection of books that is something held dear and near to the heart of every Christian. Who in the house this morning is a Christian? Great. Excellent. Now, it is something that we dearly believe in, for within these pages we've found the truth that we've been looking for, okay? In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us what to do, what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Now, this Bible, okay, this Bible here has the power to change and transform our lives if we will only take time to learn from it. If we're to obtain fullness of power in life and service that God has for us, we must feed upon the Word of God. There is no other food that is so strengthening. If we will not take time to study the Bible, we cannot have the power any more than we can have physical power if we will not take time to eat nutritious food. So let's see what the Word of God has the power to do. Okay? First one in your outline. The Word of God convicts us. Write down the word convicts. Now, today you're going to be learning a lot about the Bible. And some of you people are going to go, oh, is that right? Now, if you think that I'm out of line, I want you to read your Bible. Okay, and then I want you to come back to me and say, oh, Kerry, I think you might be wrong on here because the Bible says this and this and this. If you do that, I'll slap you over the head with the Bible. Okay. No, it's true. Anyone that gets up on the pulpit and speaks the message, don't take their word for it. Go and study it. Have a look in the Bible. I mean, yeah, I hopefully that I bring you what comes from the Bible. That's the fear of the Lord upon me every week. You know, my Goliath is Monday morning when I prepare for today's for the Sunday message. And tomorrow, my Goliath starts again. Okay, so Peter was preaching in the crowds of the day of Pentecost, wasn't he? And as he finished speaking, we read this response from the crowd in Acts 2:37. It says, Peter's words convicted them deeply, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Now, if we look back and see what it was that they heard and that produced this big, deep conviction in them, we find that it was simply the word of God. So if you read Peter's sermon, you'll find that it's one of the most biblical sermons ever preached. It was scripture from the beginning to the end. It was then the word of God carried home by the Spirit of God that convicted their hearts. Now, if you wish to produce conviction, guess what? You must give people the word of God. If you wish to produce conviction, you must produce the word of God. I heard a man pray some years ago, oh God, convict us of sin. It's a very good prayer. But unless you bring your soul into contact with the instrument that God has appointed for conviction of sin, you will not have conviction of sin. It is no use praying, oh Lord, convict me for the time, convict me when the times I do bad. If you are not reading the word of God, you will not be convicted of your sin. That is biblical. If you wish to produce the conviction of sins in others, you must use the word of God to do it. Or it will sound like condemnation and judgment. For those of you who are Christians today, I will guarantee that every single one of you began your journey of faith by being convicted by the word of God. Number two, the word of God renews us. The word of God renews us. The word there is renews. Put in your outline. For you have been born again. Your new life did not come from your earthly parents because the life they gave you will end in death. But this life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, what? Living word of God. If you wish to be born again, the way is very simple. Take up the word of God that is concerning Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and drop it into your heart by meditating upon it. Look to God by his Holy Spirit to convict it. Believe it in your heart and the work is done. If you wish to see someone else born again, give him or her the word of God. The process of regeneration on our side is the simplest thing in the world. On God's side, it's mysterious. It's really mysterious. But we have nothing to do with that part. The process is simply this. The human heart is the soil. Okay, the human heart is the soil. You and I are sowers in that soil. And the word of God is the seed that we drop into that soil. Nothing else. It's the word of God that we drop into the heart. Now God renews the heart by his Holy Spirit and gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, "My job was to plant the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it. But it was God. It was God, not we, who made it grow." See, the heart closes around the word by faith, and a new life is the product. The new birth is simply an impartation of a nature which is an impartation of God's nature. But how we make these but how are we made partakers of God's nature? That's a question that got given to me a few months ago by someone. Well, my answer was 2 Peter, verse 1 to 4. And it says, "Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." That is all there is to it. The word of God is the seed out of which the divine nature springs up in the human soul. If you need renewal today, as some of us do, turn back to the word of God. Pick up your Bible, pick up your device, and read the word of God. God's word leads us to salvation, but it also brings renewal to those already who have faith. Over the last 6 weeks, actually probably the last with my leg and with Brooke, what's happened with Brooke and then what happened with Gwen, I have probably been into this a lot more than what I have been over the last 3 months. And I'll tell you what, it has given me life. It has inspired me. It has encouraged me. It has given me words. It has given me peace. It's given me love. It's given me patience. It's been giving me kindness. It's been giving me self-control. The word of God. Number three, the word of God instills faith in us. Actually, Pastor Fred said something this morning about we've got to stop being partakers and that when we come into church. So this morning's church may go a little bit longer than 11 o'clock, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, because this is I really want to preach this word to you this morning. Okay, the word of God instills faith in us. Okay, instills faith is the key words to write in there. Yet faith comes from listening to the message of good news and the good news about Jesus Christ in Romans 10:17. So you can never get faith by merely praying. You can never get it by a personal effort. You can never get it by trying to pump it up in any way. Faith is the product of a certain cause, and that cause is the Word of God. For example, with saving faith, suppose you want a man to have saving faith. You want your brother or sister or a relative to have saving faith. Give him something definite from God's word upon which he or she can rest. The Philippian. Woo. Sorry, Lord. Someone might have seen him as the flipping jailer, but I'd say that it's the Philippian jailer, okay? Pardon me and sorry. Please forgive me. Can't even say it now. Philippian. Okay, yeah, the Philippian jailer asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's what he said. And Paul answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with your entire household." Okay, that's good. You know, you just believe. Just believe. All you got to do is believe. Who gets asked that? "Oh, what am I going to do to be a Christian?" "Oh, just believe. Believe in Jesus." And then a lot of us actually walk away, don't we? But look, listen. then they shared what? They shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. They did not merely tell the Philippian jailer to believe on Lord Jesus Christ and then leave him there, floundering in the dark without giving him something to believe or something for his faith to rest upon. They gave him which God had ordained to produce faith, the word of God. Now, it's at this point that we often make a mistake. We tell people, believe, 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 but do not show them how. And do not give them anything definite to believe in. The biblical way and the intelligent way is that when you tell a person to believe, to give that person something specific to believe. Give them, for example, Isaiah 53:6. We have a bit of fun here. Who knows Isaiah 53:6? Who's got little children here? Who listens to Colin Buchanan? Okay, so you're going to help me out here, okay? Isaiah 53:6. We all sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, singing Isaiah 53:6. Don't you love that? Now, some of you older folk that never experienced that, you probably go, oh my goodness, what have I just listened to? Isaiah 53:6. Well, how about this one? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. No, I'm going to... See, he himself bore our sins. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Here he has something for his faith to rest upon. Faith must have a foundation. Faith cannot float on thin air. It is just the same with the faith that we desire instead of doubt. This also comes from the Word of God. Suppose you have a skeptic to deal with and you wish the man would have faith. What will you do with him? Say if you've got a skeptic that doesn't believe in Christianity, what is the thing that we usually do? We usually give him a book on Christian evidences, don't we? Well, some of us do. I've actually given guys heaps of creation magazines and say, look, it's true, it's true, it's true. I have nothing to say against books of Christian evidences. Some of them are great. But there is an inspired book on Christian evidences, and it's worth all the libraries that has been ever written on this subject. John 20:31 says, but these were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life. See, the Gospel of John is the inspired book on Christian evidences. So what should we do with the skeptics? What should we do with people that don't believe? First, find out whether their will is to surrender or not. John 7:17 says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. See, after the will is surrendered, just say, take this book and read it thoroughly and honestly and come back to me with the result. The result is absolutely sure. There is no man, there is no agnostic, there is no infidel or whatever you please whose will is surrendered to the truth. Who will take the book of God, especially the book of John, and ask him to give him light, who will not come out believing that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. The faith that gets victory over the world, the faith that gets victory over the flesh, the faith that gets victory over the devil. The faith that wins mighty, mighty, mighty victories for God is also through the Word of God. Number four, the Word of God matures us. Acts 20:32. And now I entrust to you God and the word of his grace, his message that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. In 1 Peter 2:2, we have a similar thought expressed with an analogy. It goes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow into the fullness of your salvation. Cry out for this nourishment as a baby cries out for milk. Now, if we're to grow, we must have wholesome, nutritious food and plenty of it. The only spiritual food that contains all the elements necessary for a proportional Christian growth is the Word of God. A Christian can no more grow as he should without feeding frequently, regularly, and largely upon the Word of God than a baby who can grow as they should without proper nutrition. You know, when you watch those TV shows trying to raise money for the starving children with bloated stomachs, you're watching the results of malnutrition. And they are horrific pictures that we see. If these children had simply been given the right food from infancy, they would not be experiencing the sickness and the death that is often sometimes the result. And the same happens to us when we do not receive the spiritual nutrition that God offers to us in this world. We become sick. We become spiritually malnourished. We backslide. We compromise, etc., etc., etc. The answer to our problem, again, is a simple one. Pick up the Word of God and begin reading it. And your spiritual strength and your vitality will return. I promise you. But even more than that, you will begin to grow and mature into the man or woman that God intended you to be. Spiritual nourishment is not only for the new Christians, but it's also an ongoing need for all of us who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Number five, the Word of God makes us wise. Makes us wise. You know, most of you know that I'm the advisor to the Asian Union of Asian Countries, dealing with anti-trafficking and prostitution and pedophilia. Little old me. I'm often in a room with some of the Asians' most influential lawmakers, and they ask little old me for my input. Unknowingly, they're actually asking for God's input, because the whole time I'm freaking out. Now, if I hadn't have read the Word of God, I would just be worldly as most of them in the room. And there are some times where I go, oh my goodness, I cannot believe that these guys have had 10 years of university. They're right up there. In their own countries, and they're asking little old me for advice. What do I think? And I remember when I was a young boy, this guy used to roll in with his BMW into work, and he used to come and he used to talk. And I used to look at him and go, oh, I just want to be like him. And then one day he turned around as he was talking, and he mentioned the Lord's name in vain. And straight away, the Spirit just cut across and said, I don't want to be like him at all. He may have all the money and all the flash cars and everything else, but I don't want to be like him. You know, if I didn't have Christ in my life, I would have nothing to offer the Asian summit. Nothing at all. Everything that I say, every time I open my mouth, you can hear it. Honestly, you can hear a pin drop. And I'm shaking when I'm speaking. But I know what I'm speaking is God's wisdom. Not mine, but God's wisdom in these matters. Now, I'd be very easily persuaded to go along with some of their ideas, because some of their ideas seem really good. I mean, just the other day I had an email from one of them saying, well, let's follow the Filipino president, Rodriguez Duterte. Let's shoot them all. And obviously, at the moment, a lot of Asian countries are looking at what they're doing over there and seeing that it's working. And they asked for my input. People ask me how I got to be doing this, and I tell them I didn't position myself. God positioned me in this place, in that place. And all I have to do is rely on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to direct my path. Psalms 119:130, as your words are taught, they give light. Even the simple can understand them. You know what? I'm a simple bloke. I'm a very simple bloke. I can understand God's word. So can you. Now, there's more wisdom in the Bible than there is in all other literature of all ages. The one who studies the Bible, if he does not study any other book, will know more of real wisdom. Wisdom that counts for eternity as well as time. Wisdom that is perished, that this perishing world needs to know. Wisdom for which hungry hearts are starving today than the person who reads every other book and neglects the Bible. The person who studies the Bible and neglects all other books will be wiser than the person who studies all the books and neglects the Bible. Do you want to be wise? The person who studies the Bible will have more to say that is worth saying. And that wise people will wish to hear than any other person who studies everything else and neglects the one book. This has been illustrated over and over again in the history of the church. The people who have greatly affected the spiritual history of the world, the people who have brought about great reformations of morals and doctrines, the people whom a lot of people have flocked to hear these people whose words have hung and have been Bible people in every instance. And in many cases, they knew very little besides the Word of God. You know, I've seen men and women who have had almost no advantages at school, but they knew their Bibles inside and out. And I'd rather sit at their feet and learn from their wisdom and that the words that fall from their lips than listen to a man who knows much about philosophy and science and theology even, but does not know anything about the Word of God. I love this quote. Elias Boudinot said, were you to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to the wise and ignorant. Were you to ask me for one affording the most rational and pleasing entertainment to the inquiring mind, I should repeat, it is the Bible. And the most interesting history, should I urge you to look into your Bible? I would make it, in short, the Alpha and the Omega of all knowledge to humankind. Can I have the worship team up, please? Just end on a little story. The Prince of Granada, an heir to the Spanish crown in the late 1600s, was sentenced to life in solitary confinement in Madrid's ancient prison. The dreadful, dirty and dreary nature of the place earned its name, the Place of the Skull, not to be mixed with Golgotha. Everyone knew that once you were in, you would never come out of it alive. The prince was given one book to read the entire time. The Bible. With only one book to read, he read it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. The book became his constant companion. After 33 years of imprisonment, he died. When they came to clean out his cell, they found out some notes he had written using nails to mark on the soft stone of the prison walls. The notations were this sort. Psalm 118, verse 8. In the middle verse of the Bible. Ezra 7:21 contains all the letters of the alphabet except the letter J. The ninth verse of the eighth chapter of Esther is the longest verse in the Bible. It's all he had was the Bible for 33 years. He read it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Also inscribed was no word or name more than six syllables can be found in the Bible. This individual spent 33 years of his life studying what we have described as the greatest book of all time. Yet he could only glean trivia. From all we know, he never made any religious or spiritual commitment to Jesus Christ. He simply became an expert at Bible trivia. How well do you know your Bible? I know people that can recite a lot of the verses, a lot of chapters. I mean, I might be going, oh, it says somewhere in the Bible this, and someone will go, oh, it's Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And I go, how do you do that? I pray to God that we never become like this guy. That when a heart is not surrendered to God, the Bible becomes simply a book of trivia. Sometimes we can come into church, or sometimes we can pick up the Word of God as a tourist and just read it because there's nothing else to read. We can sit down and just read it as a magazine or a bit of a history book. But we've got to get it sewn into our heart. Because when our mind and our heart start working together, guess what's starting to happen? The Holy Spirit in us is starting to well up, and He will show you things in this Bible that you've probably never seen before. But to those who are willing to surrender their heart to God's will, it becomes our very own lifeblood. The truths we believe. The Bible is God's Word. For some, there's a lot of words, there's a lot of chapters, there's a lot of verses. If you've never read a whole book in the Bible, and you might say, how can that be? Well, statistics show that 8 out of 10 people have not read the Bible from back to front. That's Christians. Start with the book of John. Just open it up. Start with the book of John. And then come and tell me what you've learned. Connect groups. Why don't you take that challenge up and read the book of John and then discuss it, what you've learned from the book of John. And then go from that and go to another book. And go to another book. There's 66 books. So I wouldn't be standing up here breathing if it wasn't for the Word of God. Life just wasn't good for me. And some of you may be struggling at this moment in your life, things and going on. You know what? The last thing you've probably even thought to do is to pick up the Word of God. I encourage you, pick up the Word of God and your life will be transformed. Your relationship with Jesus will be renewed. And that's what God's calling us to do, is to renew our relationship every day. How do we do that? Every day, get some quiet time and read the Word of God. You look like stunned mullets. I'm serious. Read the Word of God. As your pastor, I can do nothing. I can do no more for you. But to point you towards Jesus through the Word of God. Let's stand and sing. If some of you are going through some tough times, I want to pray for you this morning. While we're singing the song, the Holy Spirit, let's sing that song, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Yeah. Miracles. If you need a miracle in your life, come down the front and we'll just pray for that miracle. Maybe physical, maybe spiritual, maybe financial, maybe anything. Come forward, we're going to pray for it. We're going to believe what the Word of God says. Amen? Let's sing. Hallelujah.